From the very beginning of the great controversy in heaven, it has been Satan's purpose to overthrow the law of God. And though he was cast out of heaven, he has continued the same warfare upon the earth to deceive men and thus lead them to transgress God's law is the object which he has steadfastly pursued. Great Controversy, page 582, paragraph 1. What the author is saying, Satan's central purpose is to lead people to violate God's law. Because he knows the outcome of that is death. The devil does not like you. Whether in this building or online, he does not even like his fallen angels. He doesn't love. He seeks one thing only, and that's taking life. Because the more people who go with him, the less he suffers. The more people who suffer with him, the less he suffers. Because for everyone who's saved, he's going to suffer for that person's sins. And so his purpose is to lead people to violate God's law. That's the stated purpose of Satan. And he will do it in crafty ways. But remember, his object is to bring that person into conflict with God. And the only way to be in conflict with God is to be in conflict with the law of righteousness that reflects God himself. God is good. And all the time. Good evening, everyone. Today is November 15. Yes. We have 5 more days to go. Can you believe the time has flown so quickly? But let's not worry about the ending. Let's enjoy today under the direction of the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? Amen. How was your day? Amen. Good. So was mine. It was nice and sunny. It'll be even warmer tomorrow. And perhaps today, I think we're expecting 70 either Wednesday or something like that. So I wish we can have that in Michigan. But we take what we can get. Our subject for this evening, members of the jury. What did I say? Has any of you ever served on the jury? Oh, okay. I was summoned once, but I didn't have to go. I was glad for that. All right. Members of the jury is our subject. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for another day of life. We thank you, Father, for having brought us through this day unscathed, unhurt, undamaged. As far as we know, without loss of life among us. We're grateful. We say like the psalmist, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We praise your name, dear God. We exalt your name. If we have offended you, forgive us, Father. Wash us, make us clean, and fill our hearts with hatred for sin and love for righteousness. We present this service to you. I humble myself before you and ask you, dear God, very directly and respectfully, grant me your Spirit. Cleanse me, use me, fill me with the Spirit of truth, that you may be glorified through the presentation of Thus Saith the Lord. Bless those who are sick. Touch them, dear God. I pray particularly for those with COVID-19. There's so many deaths from that condition. Heal them completely, Father, if that is their complaint. Bless this country. Bless the leaders of this country, Father. And the leaders of all countries represented by those who are listening, remind them, dear God, forcefully, righteousness exalteth a nation, and that the Most High ruleth in the affairs of men. Father, a special blessing on all our guests who are not Seventh-day Adventists. A special blessing on all the little boys and little girls who may be listening, because they too can understand the essentials of salvation. Father, hear this humble prayer. Give safe travel to those still on their way. I pray from my heart in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Our subject, members of the jury. 1 Corinthians 6, reading from verse 1. This means I have 35 minutes between now and 7:45. That's a lot of time to present the simple truth of the Word of God. What book did I say? What chapter? Reading from verse 1. I read from the King James Version of the Bible. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Let me put that in Greenville language. Don't sue one another. Let me say it differently. Seventh-day Adventists are biblically forbidden to sue one another. What did I say? Biblically forbidden. Now, we choose to do whatever we want. And God has to deal with that. But we are biblically forbidden to sue one another. Whether it's a hospital suing a hospital, a conference, a member, dare any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. How can two spiritual beings go to secular beings to resolve a conflict? Paul's image no sense because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The carnal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness unto him. A friend of mine was audited by the IRS. They could not understand why he was giving so much money to the church. They thought he was trying to rip off the IRS. They called him in for an audit because they could not understand the spiritual joy of returning to God. So they audited him. But that audit was a witness to them, I hope. Now, verse 2. Do ye not know that what? The saints shall do what? Judge the world. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to do what? Judge the smallest matters. What does Paul say? The saints shall judge the world. One question must arise. When? Verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge, come on, angels, how much more things that pertain to this life. Now there are two startling statements in that passage. Verse 2, the saints shall judge the world. Verse 3, we shall judge angels. Our subject, members of the jury. Because juries sit in judgment. They decide guilt or not guilt, and the judge passes the sentence. If we are to judge the world, if we are to judge angels, we must qualify. When a jury is impaneled, are they questioned? Do you belong to this area? Are you generally a part of the world of the accused so that the accused can be judged by people who understand things about him or her? Jury members are impaneled, they are judged, they are questioned. Some may be stricken off, others allowed to sit on the jury. Let's look at a principle of the Bible. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, let's read 17 and 18. Our subject, members of the jury. Hebrews chapter 2, 17 and 18. We're trying to identify a Bible principle. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be what? A merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Let's read that again. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be what? Made how? Like unto his brethren. Why? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. There was a prerequisite Christ had to meet. He had to become human. He also had to live a victorious life over sin. So he qualified to be a savior. Let's read verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able to do what? Succor them that are tempted. Here again we have qualification. Christ can help you and me because he suffered in his battle against temptation. And to suffer against temptation, you must resist. When you give in, the suffering ends. Did I say that clearly? Suffering as a result of temptation only occurs when you resist. When you give in, the suffering goes. Christ resisted, and so he suffered. The Bible says because of that, he qualifies to help us with our temptations. Let us go to Luke 22. We'll read verse 31 and verse 32. Our subject, members of the jury. Luke 22, reading verses 31 and 32. Do you have Luke 22, 31 and 32? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. But I have what? Prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. There is a verse. And when thou art converted, come on, strengthen thy brethren. To strengthen the brethren, Peter had himself to have a certain degree of strength. How can a drowning man save a drowning man? How can the blind lead the blind? In order to strengthen the brethren, Jesus said, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Let's go to Matthew 7. Our subject, members of the jury, we're trying to identify a biblical principle. Qualifications are essential for doing certain work. Judge not, Matthew 7 from verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment he judged, he shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. What does verse 3 say? And how, why considerest thou, or beholdest thou, the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest what? Not the beam that is in thine own eye. Now a mote is like this. A beam is like this. Verse 4. How can thou say to thy brother, let me do what? Pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Now read verse 5. Thou hypocrite. What's the next word? Stop. Stop. What does that tell you first? It's a qualification. To correct your brother, you'll be straight. First, cast out the beam that is in thine own eye. Then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Out of thy brother's eye. So we have qualification for work. Now, members of the jury. What qualifies someone to judge angels and to judge the world? Question, when will this judgment of the world take place? We have to reason from scripture to scripture to come to this conclusion. Because the judgment has a few phases. It's not just one act. Right now, well, let me not say that now. Let's go to some Bible verses. Let us go to Luke. Well, we're in Luke. No, we were in Matthew. Let's go to Luke. Luke 20, reading from verse 34. Our subject, members of the jury. Luke 20, reading from verse 34. Now, if you've never paid attention for this series, I hope you pay attention tonight. You must think and reason tonight. Do you have Luke chapter 20? Reading from verse 34. Are you there? Read with me, what does that say? And Jesus answered and said unto them, what? The children of this world marry and are given in marriage. Stop. What does he mean by this world? This sinful world we're living in. This world of sin. The children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be what? Accounted what? Worthy to obtain what? That world. Now, how many worlds do we see in those two verses? Two. Name them. This world, describe this world. Sinful. And what's the other one? That world, describe that world. That's the new world. Are you with me? Notice the verses, but they which shall be accounted worthy. What does that mean? Qualify. They are deemed to be worthy. They are judged to be worthy. Someone assesses them and determines they are worthy to occupy that new world. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, keep reading, and the resurrection what? Out of the dead. Neither marry or given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. and of the children of God, finish that verse, being the children of the resurrection. Now, how many times do you see resurrection? Look closely, then answer, so I can give you top marks. How many times do you see resurrection between verses 34 and 36? I have some extra time, I'll wait for a few seconds. How many times do you see the word resurrection? You sure? All right. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, read with me now, and the resurrection, come on, from the dead. Which dead? The righteous dead? Or the righteous wicked? Or the wicked dead? Which dead? There are two classifications of dead. But notice, the Bible gives us a clue. They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain what world? That world. Which is that world? The new world. And the resurrection out of the dead. Which resurrection is that then? The first one. Reason with me. For those of you who look a little stunned and startled, the Bible teaches there will be two resurrections. One for the righteous, one for the wicked. The righteous one occurs first. The wicked one occurs 1,000 years later. This Bible teaching. That's why I ask you, please concentrate. They which shall be accounted worthy, judged, deemed, assessed to be worthy to live in the new world, and to obtain the resurrection out of the dead or from the dead, neither marry or are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, finish verse 36, being the children of the now. That resurrection must be the first, because those who come out of it are called what? The children of God. Let me tell you something about Bible study. It's hard work. That's why most people say, tell me. Don't ask me to study. It's hard work. But it's rewarding work. Because as you engage in that hard work, your life changes. When you see this desk? If I try to lift it with one hand, let's say I can't lift it. I try. The muscle I'm using is this, because I'm trying to move the desk this way. You understand? Is this. It doesn't move. But something happens to this. Ah, you're not with me. You're sleeping with your eyes open. Oh, you do this. Are you with me? The desk doesn't move. But something changes in the muscle that's exerting the force. Because the muscle is trying. It's trying. And if I continue to do this, this will grow. Even though the Bible things are difficult, try. And what happens to your mind? It'll grow. Ah, you don't believe me. All right. Now, the resurrection out of the dead, those who come out of that resurrection are the children of God. Then it must be the first resurrection. Let me show you that again from the Bible. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. A very familiar passage of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4. My friends online, I hope you're still with us. And if you stayed up late to catch our service, thank you very much for that sacrifice. Before I go any further, let me pray. Father, remind me I'm here for you, not for me. Restrain me. Control me. Let me just be an instrument in your hand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Where did I send you? 1 Corinthians chapter? Reading from what? Verse 16. 1 Corinthians 4:16. What did I say? Oh, 1 Thessalonians. Sorry, you're right. You are thinking tonight. 1 Thessalonians. We will be going to 1 Corinthians. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. Are you there now? Amen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In other words, they shall come out of that resurrection. You see? Remember Luke 22? Shall obtain the resurrection out of the dead. What are they called? The children of God. Then that resurrection must be the first. Let's keep reading, or let's start again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We pause right here. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 now. Let's read verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, what's our subject? Members of the jury. Now you have to read microscopically. I'm looking at you, I think all of you are concentrating. God bless you for that. I really mean it. God bless you. Especially the young people with Bibles in their hand. That's a beautiful sight. Are you there now? Behold, I show you a mystery. Read the next few words. We shall not all sleep. What does the word sleep there mean? Death. What is Paul saying? We won't all die. But who is we? The Christians, the righteous, the people of God. Paul is saying, behold, I show you a mystery. We, the righteousness, shall not all sleep. What does that mean? When Christ comes, there will be believers alive on the earth. But since we won't all sleep, some of us will be alive, what does he say about the others? They'll be dead. So we'll have righteous dead and righteous living. That's what Paul is saying. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. Next verse says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. We have the two groups. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. Incorruptible, changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Next verse. Let me slow down since no one is telling me to. Listen carefully. When Christ comes, there will be two groups alive on the earth. The righteous living and the wicked living. When he comes, he raises the righteous dead. Now go to verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4. You should have one finger on it. You have 10 fingers. Are you there? Read with me. What does that say? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them. Who's them? The righteous dead who are raised shall be caught up with them where? In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you read carefully, a lot of information comes to you. Only the righteous dead are raised. But let's learn something about God and His presence. Let's go to Hebrews 12:29. Simple verse. You can memorize it by reading it once. Do you have that? What does that say? For our God, come on, is a consuming fire. What does that tell you? When Christ comes the second time, He's a consuming fire. What happens to the wicked who are alive? They're consumed, they're struck dead. Why are the righteous not struck dead? Because they are changed, how quickly? In a twinkling of an eye. If they're not changed, they would be struck dead. Are you following me? Because you can't stand in God's presence like that. If they were not changed, the dead come up incorruptible. That's what the Bible says. Let me try that again. The righteous dead, Abraham, Abel, Noah, Stephen, Paul, whoever, your grandmother, they are changed where? In the grave. Because if they come up unchanged, they sort down. Those on the earth, they are changed immediately. In order to survive the presence of God's glory and the fullness, the effulgence of God, they're changed. Then what happens to the wicked who are living? They struck dead. Then who goes up with him? The righteous, those who are changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they go with him, and we go away for 1,000 years. 1,000 years in heaven. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 6, not 6, 15, verse 51, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1 says, verse 2, we, the saints, shall judge angels. The world, verse 2, angels, verse 3. Which angels? The wicked angels. How do we know that? 2 Peter chapter 2. Our subject, members of the jury. 2 Peter chapter 2. Amen. All right, my brother, you're quick. Bless you. 2 Peter chapter 2, let's read verse 4. Are you there? Read with me, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of? To reserved unto? Yes. Reserved unto judgment. Read verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve, come on, the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Go to the book of Jude, just before Revelation. Jude. Jude has one chapter, so we just give the verse. Verse 6. Jude was a half-brother of Jesus. So was James. Do you have Jude? Let's read verse 6. By the way, Jude and 2 Peter are similar. You read the two chapters, they're very, very similar in what they say. Like parts of Ephesians and parts of Colossians. And the angels which kept not their what? First they stayed, but left their own habitation, he has what? Reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. Finish the verse. Unto the judgment of the great day. So there is a day when the fallen angels will be judged. Along with fallen man. Are you following me? Amen. But this will happen 1,000 years after Jesus comes. The question I asked earlier, what qualifies a person to sit on the jury with Christ as a judge, judging fallen angels and lost human beings? Let me say it again, in the reverse order. Lost human beings, fallen angels. They take part in the same judgment, which means, a very embarrassing thing to say, a sinner who's lost and an evil angel, there's very little difference between the two. Let me be a little harsher. A sinner and a demon get along very well. Because both are in rebellion against God. Why do I say that? The same place God sends Satan and his angel is where he has to put fallen sinners, because they will not accept his salvation. Jesus said in Matthew 25, depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. But there'll be people there who are determined to follow the lifestyle of the devil. He said in verse 34, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Christ had a kingdom prepared for the obedient. The fires of hell, which were originally arranged for the devil and his angels, will be the place where sinners go. God never intended a person, a human being, to be in hell. Never. He prepared the kingdom for us, hell for the devil and his angels. If you and I end up with the devil and his angels, we are no better than his angels. Now, the question is, what qualifies us? What I'm trying to tell you, when Christ comes, let me pray, Father, as I continue, please give me the language that's simple, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 says, or 52, we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Keep the last trump in mind. And listen to this verse. For the Lord himself, now we just read the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15, 52. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Same event. This is the second coming of Christ. Now, if when Christ comes the second time, he takes this righteous with him, what further judgment there is needed for them? None. You have to get this point. Go to Revelation 14. Read verse 13. Our subject, members of the jury. 7:35. Revelation 14, verse 13. Are you there? And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, what? Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Stop. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Can someone in the Lord be lost? No. If you die in the Lord, what does that mean? Let the Bible tell you. Go to Revelation 20. We die in the Lord. Chapter 14, verse 13. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Revelation 14, 13. Listen to Revelation 20, verse 6. Read with me nice and loud. Blessed and holy is he that hath part what? In the first resurrection. Stop. If you come up blessed and holy, what further judgment is there for you? None. But at some point, God must have determined that you're fit for a place in his kingdom. At some point, a decision was made that when Christ comes, you will be raised incorruptible. When was that decision made? Hold on to your horses. That process is going on now. In heaven. While you and I are running around over-concerned with this life, there are decisions being made above about the eternal destiny of this person or that person. What is Exodus 32? You should get some clue or some more information. Exodus 32, we read from verse 31. Exodus 32, from verse 31, our subject, members of the jury. How can human beings judge angels? The Bible says we will, but we have to qualify. Exodus 32, reading from verse 31. And Moses did what? Returned to the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned what? A great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, but if not, blot me, I pray thee, come on, out of thy book which thou hast written. Now, God has books in heaven. Some of them say, why does God need books? Why does God need books? Wait a minute. 30 years ago, books didn't look like this. Are you with me? All the writings of Ellen White are on this thing. And I don't need a room. Several decades ago, you need a whole room in your house. Now, they're on here. I can turn the pages on here. Are you following me? Now, if human beings can do that, can't God have a kind of book we don't understand? Some of you have notebooks. Are you with me? With no pages. They were made by Kindle or Amazon or Google. You have a notebook. It has no pages. When I was in school, a book was this. I write on it and erase and get all the sums wrong. But it was a book. Are you with me? It was a book. The Bible says, God said in verse 33, read verse 33 of Exodus 32. And the Lord said what? Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now, that gives you a clue. God removes those who have done what? Sin. Not made a mistake. I'm not talking about that. Who have rebelled against God and lived a life contrary to the standards of his law. The Bible says those who do that are blotted out of God's book. Go to Philippians chapter 4. New Testament, Philippians 4, lovely epistle, very happy epistle. The Philippians would always take care of Paul and meet his needs, and he was very much in love with them. The word joy occurs several times in that book. It's a happy book for Paul. Most of his epistles are not. Do you have Galatians? Not Galatians, sorry. Philippians chapter 4. Okay. 7:40. Verse 2 and verse 3. Let me pray, Father, as I continue, dear God, tell me what to say in Jesus' name. Amen. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. There were two prominent women in the church at Philippi, and they had a disagreement. Believers will have disagreements, but there's a godly way to settle those things. Somebody say amen. We don't settle disagreements the way the world does. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee through your fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers. Finish that verse. Whose names, are in the book of life. Who were these people? Paul describes them. What does he call them? Look at the verse 3. What does he call them? My fellow laborers. They were gospel workers. And Paul knew their names were in the book of life. But we know from what God told Moses, those who sin against me, I'll remove that name. What am I trying to tell you? There is a book in heaven now called the book of life. And it has names. For those who've given their lives to Christ at some point, all the names are in that book. There is a process going on now to see which names will remain and which names will be removed. Go to Titus 1:16 and see why God has to do that. Titus 1:16. This message is not intended to scare you, but certainly to wake you up. Titus 1:16, do you have that? Titus was a young man. So was Timothy. Young men can serve God faithfully. Somebody say amen. Young women too. Titus 1:16, read with me. They profess. What does that mean? They say, I love Jesus. They profess that they know God. Keep reading. But in works, they deny Him. And God has to finally decide who serves Him with the lips only, but who is serious. Go to Revelation 20. Let's read from verse 12 of Revelation 20. Do you have that? Read with me. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Keep reading. And the books were open. Come on. And another book was open, which is the book of life. Now, we have the book of life. And we have several books. Do you see that? And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. Keep reading. And the dead were judged out of those things. Come on. Which were written where? In the books. Where are the names? In the book. Where is the lifestyle recorded that God judges? The books. But the names are in the book. There is a book God has. What it looks like, I'm not concerned. All names of those who profess a relationship with Christ are in that book. And God is examining that book now. As He prepares the jury to sit with Jesus to judge the angels and sinners. I said, sit with Jesus. The judge that's presiding over this activity, which is very solemn, is the Father. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, let's read verse 5. Revelation 3, verse 5, our subject, members of the jury, 744. Are you there? Read with me. He that overcometh shall what? The same shall be clothed, how? In white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Keep reading. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Jesus says, he that what? Overcometh. The same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name. In other words, I will speak, come on, for him. What's the condition? He that overcometh. That's only possible through Jesus. So the one that helps you overcome is the one who could speak for you. Because he wants to live like you. Remember Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. He understands temptation. He understands the struggles, the ups and downs. He understands, so he can speak for us when we're in him. Now, go back to Revelation 20. We read 12 to 14, or 12 to the end of that chapter, 15 I believe. John sees all these visions that Jesus gives him. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. By the way, we are saved by faith, we're judged by works. You say, I love Jesus. God says, fine, fine. Let me see how you live. Are you following me? We're saved by faith in Christ. We're judged by our works. You said you love Jesus. Let me see the life you lived. So they're judged according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. Now read verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the... This is the... Which means this judgment is taking place 1,000 years after Jesus came. Because death and hell are not cast into the lake when Jesus comes. Are you with me? When he comes, he just takes us home. The devil is here. He can't leave. Everyone is dead. Just the angels. There's no way he can go. Nothing he can do. That's why he is bound. He is trapped. Those are the chains in heaven. Nobody's attempt. So when we read death and hell, it means the end of 1,000 years, the end of the judgment of the wicked saints and the wicked people. Read verse, the last verse of that chapter. And whosoever was not found, come on, written in the book of life, come on, was cast into the lake of fire. What's the qualification for sitting on that jury with Jesus when he will judge the wicked angels and wicked people? Victory over sin now. Now I told you, the judgment going on now is presided over by the Father. In that 1,000-year period, the presiding judge will be Jesus. And we will sit with him. Right now in heaven, there are 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of angels. Right now in heaven, we have the 420 elders. We have people whom Christ took up with him when he rose from the dead. We have human representatives at this judgment going on now. According to prophecy, which we can't get into now, it began October 22, 1844, this judgment. It's going on now. When Christ comes a second time, he comes because that judgment is finished. So he's coming to take those whose names remain in the book. Are you following me? Take them home. Those whose names were cast out, they stayed dead for 1,000 years. So we go with Christ to heaven. Go to Revelation 20 verse 4. Revelation 20. And I saw thrones. Now thrones are right. You know, this is Eastern culture. You would sit on pads on the floor. That's why Daniel chapter 7 verse 9 said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. It simply means put in place, erected. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And I saw the souls of them that were what? Beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Keep reading. Which had not what? Worship the beast. Come on. Or is it right now? I'll get to the worshiping the beast during this week. Have not worshipped the beast nor his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. Keep reading. And they lived and reigned, come on, with Christ. How long? 1,000 years. Where? In heaven. Now read verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were. This is the first. So we have the first. 1,000 years later, we have the second. In that period, we are with Christ judging the fallen angels and wicked people who resisted Christ. Now, let me say this quickly. Why do we have to judge them? We don't really have to judge them in the sense that we determine if they're saved or lost, because it's obvious they are lost. What we determine with Christ is the degree of punishment. Let me explain. Here are two men accused of murder, both condemned to death. One by lethal injection with a sterilized needle. Are you with me? The other one thrown into a lion's den. Who suffers more? The one in the lion's den. Or, here are two more men. You die by firing squad, the bullets hit your heart, you're gone just like that. The other, you're thrown in fire. Who suffers more? The one who's right. But the ultimate end is both die. Now, we sit with Jesus to determine the degree of suffering or punishment. The judgment is already made, they're lost. The fallen angels lost long time ago. This is not the kind of message people like to hear, but you need to know it. So that we can avoid... You know, Ellen White says we have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I'm not saying go to heaven because you're afraid of hell. I'm simply saying the most popular verse in the Bible has both sides. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That's life. You have heaven, you have hell. Except you all repent, says Jesus, ye shall all likewise perish. There is a perishing associated with the gospel, as much as there is a salvation. And I'm trying to tell you tonight that those of us who are saved, and that's hope will be all of us, say amen, we will sit with Christ and dole out the punishment. When that's done, Christ comes back. Go to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Let's read from verse 7. Oh, okay, all right. I know you're eager. Let's go from 5 to 7. Let's go from 5 to 7. But the rest of the dead live not again until when? The 1,000 years were, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be what? Priests of God and of Christ and of God, and shall do what? Reign with him. Now, read verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, what does that mean? When they're over, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. What's the prison? This earth. He's trapped. No one to tempt. The world is in decay, everyone's dead, just the evil angels. He's trapped right here. How is he loosed? Read verse 8. And shall go out to deceive the nations that are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. All the wicked dead are raised. They are raised. The Bible said the devil goes to do what? Deceive them. Even at this late stage in his existence, he's still doing what he does best. Deceive. Trying to take the city which will be sitting on the earth somewhere. After the 1,000 years, we come back with Jesus. The wicked dead are all raised. The devil tries to deceive them, and there's an attempt to take the city. Read verse 10 now. Well, read verse 9. And dwelt on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and a beloved city, come on, and fire came down from and devoured them. Now, verse 10 is good news. And the devil, come on, we deceived them, were cast where? Into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Forever and ever mean as long as it takes for them to be consumed. The beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. We'll talk about them to see. We all mentioned Revelation 12 to 13. A lot of the beast in Daniel 7, 2 Thessalonians. The beast, the false prophet, the dragon, cast into the fires of hell, along with sinners who obeyed them. But we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on our side. My brothers and sisters, there is coming a judgment of the wicked. There are two resurrections. The first is the resurrection of whom? The righteous. Choose that option. By choosing Christ every day. We want God to keep us alive tomorrow. We don't know what tonight holds. Choose option one. The resurrection of the righteous. Because anyone not in that resurrection is in for a shock. The second resurrection, the resurrection of the wicked. To qualify to judge the wicked, we must first have qualified for the first resurrection. And only those who are in Christ can qualify. Tonight, you can say to God, Father, write my name in your book of life. By recommitting your life, write it or rewrite my name in the book of life. Don't worry about what the book looks like. Write my name in the book of life. And don't take it out. Only those in that book will be saved. But the Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish. That book has enough pages to accommodate every name of every person who's ever lived. But there'll be many empty pages. Because people will not give their lives to Christ. The devil makes the world so attractive, we cannot see the value of an upright life. We ridicule those who try to live right, because we cannot see the value of an upright life. It's like trying to explain dry land to a deep water fish. Makes no sense. But if it doesn't make sense to you, ask God to open your eyes to see. David prayed in Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold. Show me the danger I'm in, dear God. Show me the path I'm on that leads to destruction. By the grace of God, make sure your name is in the book of life. And anyone whose life is in the hands of Christ needs not worry about anything at all. Because Christ speaks for you. And anything Christ says, the Father agrees with. And so when Jesus speaks for you, the Father virtually has spoken for you. Both the judge and the attorney are on your side. How can you lose unless you want to lose? Let me say it again. When Christ speaks for a person, the Father speaks for the person. That's why when he prayed in John 17, verse 9, he said, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all thine are mine. The names in the book of life are God's and Christ's. If any name has to be removed, both the Father and the Son will cry. How many of you will say, Father, I recommit my life to Jesus Christ. Can I see your hand? Stand up with me. Oh God, keep my name in the book of life. That's a daily surrender. Keep my name in the book of life. For those of you online, make that same commitment, Father. Keep my name in the book of life. How is that done? Daily surrender to Christ. Because it's not so much what God thinks of you, it is what he thinks of Jesus. And when you're in Jesus, God sees Jesus. His life is your life. His victory becomes your victory. Let me say it again. When you and I are in Christ, his life becomes our life. His victory, our victory. His righteousness, ours, lived out day by day. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we thank you, Lord, the qualification for serving on that jury is a life lived in harmony with your will, and that is a life lived in the hands of Jesus. Dear God, let us do everything in our power, with your help, to make sure that we're walking a path that pleases you. The path that allows our names to remain in that book of life. We thank you, dear God, you're not willing that any should perish. We thank you that anything that belongs to Jesus is yours, and anything that belongs to you is Jesus's, so that any child of Jesus is a child of God. And so while we know Christ is speaking for us, the one for whom Christ speaks is favorably viewed by you. Please, God, change our thinking. Let us focus on the spiritual, because your coming is not far off. As we leave tonight, let's meditate. Let's think of what we've heard. And let us remain surrendered to Jesus Christ, that He may qualify us to be a member of that jury. Hear this humble prayer, dear God, and hasten the day when the first resurrection will call all your sleeping people up. And we will join them and meet you in the air. We pray in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, Amen and Amen. God bless you. Sleep with the confidence that God loves you and wants to save you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.